This podcast is supported by Siemens, your partner for industrial-grade AI.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of our Industrial AI podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and it's a pleasure to talk to
Peter Sieber. Good morning, Robert. Good afternoon, morning, night, wherever you guys and women, guys is the term we always had at Intel, I believe, but guys meaning whoever is our listener around the world.
Peter, let's talk about AI in the forest. AutoML, xAutoML, and TapPFN. What did you learn last week?
Explain first, starting at the beginning, what does that mean, AI in the forest?
AI in the forest is our event format. So last week we met with, I think, 30 people.
Right. Yeah. 32.
32 people at Aarburg in the beautiful Black Forest. Aarburg is a machine building company, injection molding machines. And we met there with 32 people and discussed three main topics: AutoML, some xAutoML and industrial approaches, and TapPFN. And the format is like we have one input, this time by Professor Dr. Frank Hutter from University of Freiburg, about AutoML. And then we had an input on TapPFN by Noah and Sam. And then we had an input by Professor Dr. Marco Huber from Fraunhofer IPA on xAutoML and industrial approaches. And then you can explain more what is the next step then.
Certainly. And we call it AI in the forest. You said Black Forest. This was the third event that we did. And the first one we started in your town, and it was in a monastery, right?
In a monastery, right.
Yeah, I was not always clear about the English term of
cloister.
Monastery, cloister. And then the second one, we went into the Alps, and that's how now the third we call AI in the forest. And we have already been thinking about what number 4, 5, 6 are going to be: AI at the sea, AI whatever.
In Italy is the option.
We're going to see how we're going to call it, right? Okay, yeah, well, you already mentioned. Yes, I mean, our overall topic of the day was, it's almost like at a higher level, like democratization of machine learning, right? So as I said at the beginning, you know, talking to our participants, and they are, you know, there's a handful of participants this time also that go a little bit deeper than the other ones. In general, they're all of them, you know, machine learning, AI, generative AI decision makers. So I said, you know, it's about making machine learning available for the less technical decision maker attendees and your colleagues, because they're decision makers, they're going to see. And that's what we're going to talk about, right? Maybe we start with the first one, you know, AutoML.
No, I want to add something.
Please do.
Because to understand the format, it's very important that after the inputs by Frank, by Noah, and by Marco, then we collect topics by our participants. And we collect them, write them down on a whiteboard, and then we are going to build three groups. And these three groups then can discuss their topics, and is without PowerPoint. So they have to work and they have to engage and they have to be creative and develop ideas. And I think that's unique in the market.
Yes, yes, I guess so. I mean, the way that we concentrate it, yes. I mean, I think there's events where the main tracks are typical PowerPoint, you know, hours of conference, which I have my opinion about. And then every now and then you're going to have a breakout session. We do it from the beginning without PowerPoint. There was one exception, but okay, exception confirming the rule. So if we then look at maybe what did the attendees hear back from them? Because at the end we do a big feedback session where you and I and the participants learn. So the first one is AutoML.
Let's talk about AutoML. Yeah, because I was totally surprised, because Frank at the beginning saw the advantages of his approach mostly in speed up and simplification. But then when we had the discussions in the groups, we maybe developed completely new AutoML approaches, because we had a mixture. You mentioned a mixture of managers like Jochen from KSB, but also data scientists like Stefan from Herrenknecht. And Stefan said at some point, I like to play around with this modeling. I don't want to give it away because that's an interesting part of my daily work to play with this model. And then we had a discussion because Fabian from Beckhoff thought that AutoML should be used as an inspiration for the data scientist guy. Can you understand why?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. Yeah, inspiration. I think at the beginning, you know, just before lunch, when we quickly have everybody introduce themselves, you know, very quickly, he talked already about his interest, why he's there. And I think he used the word ideation, you know, so inspiration, ideation. Why? Yeah. I mean, and it's very similar almost. That's another topic I come to a moment, like what is the advanced data analysis from OpenAI? But that's a separate topic. We shouldn't forget. It's very important because you take a data set, you give it to the tool, AutoML, and you click on a button. And then you're going to see, and depending how powerful your notebook or your local server is, you know, a couple of minutes later, you're going to see, you're going to look at if there is something in the data which is going to help you further. That's what this is about. And maybe then you say, oh, this is not it. Maybe you can give it a second or third try, even by looking at other pieces, other elements, not a subcategory of the data, whatever. But I think that's what this is. So it's not about, you know, you come in Monday morning, whatever, 7, 8, 9 a.m., and you start thinking, and then maybe a week later, or maybe a month later, that's not untypical. Or maybe 2 or 3 months later, you're gonna have an idea on, oh, we did everything that we tried, but this time it was not the right thing. That's what you're going to get with these tools within 5 minutes. And then you can move on, and you can move on, and you can move on. And the fourth time you do the same thing. So after 1 hour, then you see, oh, look at that. Oh, who would have thought that? And then you take project number four, and that's what you then can start working on further.
But I want to add something, because his idea is that they are involved in a day-to-day business and hardly notice what new approaches are available. And AutoML could provide inspiration and suggestions to new approaches in data science or in modeling. That was his idea also, to think about, oh, we can't read every new paper that comes out, but it's part of the AutoML tool I use, and then I have inspiration to try different approaches.
At least as far as I stand, because again, we come later. I think that the third one, Marco, is the X AutoML, and he has been looking at different categories of users. That's another thing we look at later. And I would be maybe I would even be like a fourth category. Like, you know, I've been like a project manager of these kind of projects. So I have enough understanding of all the elements, but they do not go very deep. So then, in my understanding, at least with AutoML, you know, looking at all the, let's say, relevant algorithms that under the hood, and then what comes out is this one specific, maybe whatever it is, you have never been able to look at this one specific approach, this algorithm, you know, because you never had the time. And then out of 100 different relevant, if they're all 100 relevant, well, I don't know, maybe they're only 10 relevant, and then comes out this new one, let's say it's Transformer. You know, it's another idea because you've never have been able to look at Transformer. You recall Julian has been building his Transformer himself, right? And then you think, oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, I never had the time to look into Transformers. But that's a piece of technology under the hood of AutoML. And also AutoML, so the guys, the team, you know, there is a Katharina Engsberger as well here in TAPFN, for example, PFN. Again, when I say guys, I mean it's the US term of men and women. So when they look into it, they will put always the latest, greatest algorithm under the hood. And that's probably then what I think what Fabian meant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting to have an inspiration to learn. And that's the second point, AutoML as a training tool for people. As you mentioned before, train the people in your company.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We're moving slowly into the second one because there, exactly, I think it was Noah, right? Noah was showing if we then move into the second one, which is this TAPPFN, which is, it's a trained transformer that can do supervised classification, small tabular data sets. I think they're looking at the limitations at the moment. And he was exactly showing, I believe it was the combination of two different approaches. So one is then the TAPPFN capability sustainability, very similar to, I believe, built on top of, because it is out of the house of Frank, so to say, a capability to do an automated approach on tabular data in this case. And then what he was doing, right, the demo he was showing, was putting a GPT-4 kind of user interface in front of it and making it even easier for, and then I would say typically the third category that we talk about later, the domain expert that we've been talking about now for years, and always have said, okay, the domain expert is going to be able to look into his or her data. You know, you're in charge of the data in the production line. Maybe you're in charge of an MES system. It's your data. And now you can do even a lot more with it. I mean, having said that, I'm sure that all the MES providers are going to do something similar, going to build something similar on top of their MES system as well.
Yeah, I come back to TAP-PFM because I think we all had to bite the bullet on this one, right? So Noah and Sam are still limited to a few thousand data points, I think, but want to get to 10,000 soon. But however, there's a limitation, and it was at the beginning very difficult to develop an idea of using TAP-PFM for industrial approaches, right?
Yeah, I think it had to do, which again then came later on in the third session that I went to with Marco. It was one of the topics relative to time series. And I already seen, oh no, that was actually on the second day when Marco, he does that typically every morning, like you and I. He wrote already his feedback from the first day.
Yeah.
So when we went into our session, I suggested, let's look at what the other group said yesterday. So one of the points that they had written down is, how can it be? There is this, I'm not sure what the word is, incongruence. I mean, our world, our industrial data world is like almost 100%, oh, should I say that, 90% time series. And then why is there, that was the hypothesis, why is there so little solutions around time series available? I couldn't follow that completely. Let's say I couldn't agree, but then I'm not the specialist. You know, I should have been able to ask people that really know the deal. But then again, I guess Marco is one of those persons who said, you know, it wasn't clear at all why we don't. And I think that is that from the beginning, TAP-PFM has not been pointed towards time series data. So there was all kinds of discussions then. Can we then put the tabular data into vectors, embed them in a very similar way? But that's piece of the discussion we had there.
Yeah, and there was one idea by Fabian from Harvey Hydraulics. He said, maybe we can use TAP-PFM because I have tabular data on processes and production planning or something like that. So there are ideas, and I think there's an exchange between science and our participants, and that's our idea, to get in touch, to talk to each other, and to develop more ideas, I think. And we are successful with that, right?
Oh yeah, most certainly. I'm mentioning so many topics we have to talk about, but that was another one that we should not forget later on, is that we came back again to this industrial data foundation model, which you are maybe not aware of because it was in my group.
Yeah,
so we can exchange it now as well. But maybe for closing off then, we have moved closely into the third one, which was then the XAutoML, right?
No, I want to add something on AutoML because we missed two things. So there was also an idea. The third idea was also new to Frank Hutter and his team, because it was again Fabian from Harve said AutoML could also be used to formalize and standardize and document development processes.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because in the moment, it's always a little bit like, oh, I do it like this, and I do it like this, and here a bit, and there a bit. And now AutoML can help you to formalize this process. Yeah. And then at this point, Boris from Siemens came in and developed the idea further and linked it to the AI Act with the AutoML approach as a helpful tool for the certification process. And then Frank wrote very hard. So he noted everything, because this is a totally new approach, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is related. I wasn't in that session. It is related then to the third when we come to it later on, the XAutoML, because that was used by, I think, PhDs in Marco's team to kind of break open, you know, the algorithm. And even you know, AutoML, you know, automating from, you know, from the point of gathering, I mean, almost along the crisp DM, you know, what is your goal? Where's your data? Model the data and always looking back. And from that perspective, looking at what would be possible there.
Absolutely. You want to come back to OpenAI, you said.
Oh, that was one. Yeah. Wow. That was, I'm not sure we went into the, there was actually many topics and it is as is now that we didn't discuss everything, I believe. But what's so interesting to me, and I was looking back this morning, I didn't find actually, because if you look at the original paper by Frank Hutter together with Lars Korthoff, you remember, Wyoming, and Joaquin, if that's how the name you pronounce his name, van Schoren. He's from Eindhoven.
Yeah.
Not sure. He's related then to who you're going to do an interview with very soon?
With Jakub Tomczak.
With Jakub, yeah, right. So, but Jakub is not Joaquin. But I could imagine that they are, you know, are still working or have been working in the same department. So if you go back there, that's 2018, right? That's what they published that paper. Oh, and you recall that I did an interview with Lars at that time. I couldn't find it this morning myself. I think it was, it might have been actually, well, 2019 then. I think it was the first year that we did still the podcast in German. So 4-5 years, and maybe the development has been longer, 6-8 years of AutoML. And then now, since only 2 months, we have what was called Code Interpreter. You know, I was preparing for 2 weeks, you know, Berlin Machine Learning Week, and that's where I'm doing a breakout session. And on, and the topic is presented as Code Interpreter, because that was the, what it was called at the time, right? We should maybe update it. My point is, you know, and now from a complete different perspective, from the OpenAI perspective, through this, what at the meantime is called advanced data analysis, you have kind of two different approaches. Although, as I was saying, you know, Noah was putting the one, so the OpenAI type of ChatGPT user interface in front of the other. But then inside of OpenAI, there's a similar. So you have the user interface and you do the same thing. You know, you provide your data set and the ChatGPT is walking you through, says, okay, I found the following thing. What should I do for you? I think we went, and that is so interesting that it's always when you look back in history and you and I are looking into a potential project there, it's always when you look back, you see that from at different points around the world, you know, people, research scientists come to a certain solution, maybe with different approaches. And that's what I think is happening here as well.
And it's interesting because Frank Hutter was not afraid of this tool of OpenAI and this code interpreter. He said, yeah, that's maybe the first step. And in combination with AutoML, it's automated data science at the end, right?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I wasn't part, but yeah, sure. I mean, whenever we talk about open source, I mean, he's in the very center of it. And for that reason, it's always like when you're in, you know, in the open source, and you know that better than I with a separate podcast that you run. Sure, if somebody else is doing something similar, and it's not even for the open source, whatever you do in an open market, you know, and somebody else comes, there's some. But I'm sure, yes, the difference is that if I look into a data set using the advanced data analysis, I get, as it says, the results of analysis out of it. I can see, I can look at correlation charts, I can look at the number, I can look maybe at the quality, I can do many, many, many initial things, get a feeling for my data set. I can even do some modeling as well, but I never see how it works. It's always a passive, that's nice and good, I must say. It takes me by the hand. What do you want to do? I can do A, B, C, D, E. Well, but let's do E. I don't need to know it. And then the AutoML, it is an automated step by step. There is an overlap, I think, but as Frank, knowing, I guess, Bose says, there is a difference in the approach.
You mentioned market, and I think that's a good point, because why are there no successful AutoML products in the industrial field?
That was discussed, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I ask you, what is your opinion?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be able to give you a good answer on that one. I think I heard that somebody was saying in one or two of the platforms, there is a piece kind of embedded into it. So I think whatever you recall our attendees were saying is probably more useful.
Yeah, one problem was the limitation of some tools. They are limited, and it's very difficult
to use.
Yeah, uh-huh. The limitation is one topic, and another topic is that maybe it's the people don't know about this tool.
Yeah, right.
Are not familiar with this tool, familiar with this technology. What could be done, and what is the idea? Yeah.
Sure. And that's, of course, what Frank is very much interested in. I don't recall when we went through presenting him or he himself presenting him. But what I recall that a couple of years ago, he has been working for Google. I'm not sure that he was in Silicon Valley doing that. And I strongly recall, I would need to check, and if this is wrong, what I'm saying, we maybe cut it out.
Yeah.
Now, but if you're gonna look for AutoML, of course, one of the top search results, depending on how you do it, still on Google or on Bing or through whatever, ask ChatGPT. You know, of course, the standard work will always come up somewhere. But then very soon, as I recall, it was very strongly related to Google at the time. Now, and I can only confirm all the time, having been in one of the big US big tech, in this case Intel, marketing organizations with loads of money, if they decide to make something big, you know, they make it big. You know, if it's Intel Inside in that time, as we did, you know, then everybody's going to learn 10 years long about Intel Inside. If Microsoft wants you to know about, you know, Bing, and Bing is now including OpenAI ChatGPT capabilities, that's what we hear about. That's how, what probably that is related to. And as I said, at the time I heard about AutoML and Google, and I was kind of saying, oh, but it's not Google. You know, this is a European thing. You know, if we talk about the recent history of AI, this is a Frank Hutter and people around him thing. But yeah, maybe that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, that's interesting what you mentioned, because when I first met Frank in Potsdam, we talked about the industrial sector, right? And Frank's industrial sector is Google, AWS, Microsoft, and the big tech companies. This is his industrial sector. And our industrial sector is Aburg, Trumpf, Harve, Beckhoff, Siemens, whatever, Herrenknecht. This is our industrial sector, right? And so I think it was very interesting for Frank to listen to the end users of a AutoML product, because they need to use it at the end, and they need to give feedback to the developers of the AutoML idea. And his industry is in between those both, and maybe there's a problem. Yeah,
they're the multiplicators. Yeah, so I'm not sure if you recall, but I think it wasn't Boris suggesting that he knew one or two. So of course, and now I recall, when I do the training in general about data science, and at some point in time we come to formats and platforms and libraries and this complete thing, and in the end there's the hyperscalers. And if you look at all of them, so if you look at the hyperscalers, the AWS and the Azure, and if you look at all the libraries, there's the CAFE and there's the TensorFlow and whatever they are, there's probably 200 of them, right? And if you look in the total of all of these libraries, platforms, there's probably 200-300 providers. So in total, there must be 500 of them, right? And some of them, like the big ones that gather all the capabilities that there are in the world, yeah, sure, they then should provide you with some kind of AutoML. And whose interest that is? Of course, it's Frank's interest. Now, he's a professor, and depending on how he can, or with his students and PhDs, how he can drive certain things. But in the end, it's always, of course, in this case, the hyperscalers themselves who decide what's going to be a top level. Can you as a user find it? Do you need to look and go for a search AutoML, or do they put you right in your face?
Yeah, and now our participants know that there are AutoML tools and they are open source and you can use it. And everybody said, yeah, I will give a try. That's interesting. That was very impressive for me, that everybody said, yeah, I will give a try. I will discuss it with my team. I will discuss this with my colleagues. So yeah, that's our mission, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we should probably stay close to, we're going to see, maybe not all of them, but some of them we're going to stay close to. We're going to see them again. We're communicating with them. We see them at other places. They will be speakers at other events. So we should stay close to them and follow and see how they have actually come to manage and using AutoML in their own environment.
And we already talked about large language models, because finally, at the end of our event, we had a presentation of a patent tool in combination with a large language model by Professor Dennis Cavallucci from Strasbourg. It's called AI Augmented R&D, and Werner Faulhaber, the host of the event, the manager R&D at Aarburg, already used this tool by Insa in Strasbourg. We had an episode on this, and I will link a video to the show notes. But the participants were also very interested in this R&D patent research tool, right? I was surprised by that.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion going on there. Yeah, I guess exactly for the engineering, the design engineering people, and patents is a huge, huge topic where I think when we discussed it in one of two of the breakout sessions as well, where, you know, sometimes they don't know where to start because, you know, let's go left, let's go right, let's go to the center. And then, you know, what is already there, you know? And then it was always discussed in combination with open source, you know, if it's open source, and then even if it's open source, if there's something included in there. So what I sensed from the responsible people, you know, who are designing new machines and are very interested in embedding artificial intelligence, specifically also Werner Faulhaber, you know, just as an idea, you know, injection molding, European market, global market, you know, where are we today? Where were they? And with including artificial intelligence inside of their machine, that is their strategy for moving forward, right? And then I've had a strong feeling that there was a lot of, you know, they have a big uncertainty. And that's, I think, what this tool is providing you. It's providing you with a deep learning-based embedded kind of search capability for looking into, you know, what patents exist on my road that I'm going forward, right? I'm thinking of going from A to B, and on my path in the technologies that I'm going to be using, what is already there and what are the potentials where I could be going for a patent maybe myself, if that is my interest.
Yeah, and this tool summarizes patents, but also, I think, scientific papers.
Right.
And it combines the problem and the solution. So the output is the problem that it's described, and then the solution out of the paper or the patent. So it was very impressive to see how good this works. I was impressed by that.
Yeah. And of course, Werner was. That's why he's been suggesting this additional session.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Peter,
I think we discussed most of it, right?
Yeah.
And it was great to see everybody very happy. There were a couple of feedback.
Yeah, I have one quote at the end from Professor Marco Huber of Fraunhofer IPA. I will quote, "I actually found this to be the best event of the series so far." Wow.
Okay. Yeah, amazing.
Thanks, Marco.
Yeah, thanks, amazing. Thanks, Marco. Thanks for having been there. Thanks to the participants, of course.
Thanks to our partner, Hannover Messe. And for those of you who are now thinking, I would also like to be part of this discussion, you can apply for our next round in July 24. So send us a message via LinkedIn or via email, and you can apply to our next round in July. Yeah.
Which is, again, AI in the Alps, right?
AI in the Alps. And the topic is simulation, and we will have also one group talking about industrial projects, industrial approaches, and we should talk about the AI Act and trustworthiness, testify certification topic as well, because this was a big point in the breakout sessions in my group.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer.
Peter,
good.
It was a pleasure. 2 days AutoML, xAutoML, TAP, PFN, large language models. Whoa. I'm looking forward to the next event. I'm looking forward to our next podcast with Jakub from Technical University of the Eindhoven. Thank you. Be my partner in this event. I won't be able to do that without you, Peter, and your very good ideas and your feedback and your criticism on some topics. Thank you very much.
My criticism.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I give that back to you immediately, Robert. We're a good team, and together with our attendees, with the people around us, we've put together some very nice, interesting setup that I'm very much looking forward to doing many of them. As I said, the next one in the Alps, and then who knows, AI at the sea, whatever, many additional capabilities I'm going to ask ChatGPT soon. There's going to be. Looking forward to it, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye-bye.